Hello, and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely. As always, I am your host, Sarah. My guest today's name is also Sarah, and she is one of my dear friends. She's so wonderful. We literally talk every day. If a day goes by without her conversating with me, I might lose my mind. She is such a wonderful person. I hope you guys can feel that authentically through this episode. We touch on quite a few subjects and conversations of marriage and being moms and stay-at-home moms or working moms and what's expected, self-worth, creating ourselves independently while in marriage. And we just kind of hop all over the place. So I hope you guys really feel for it and love it and get to know her. Hopefully she will be back. I really hope you enjoy this episode because it really is. We're just two friends hanging out, trying to understand what we want out of life and working on goals, still growing as people, still understanding that we have a lot of growth to do in life. And I really hope you guys love this episode. Feel free to drop your questions and comments. As always, write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram page. I do check messages on there as well. And of course, everything remains anonymous. And I love you guys. I hope you love the episode. Feel free to leave your interactions on Spotify as well. And welcome to today's episode of Loving Yourself Completely. All right, we are here with Sarah. Sarah, welcome to Loving Yourself Completely.
Hi.
All right, so I talk about you all the time in literally probably every episode since we met. I mention how important it is to have such a good friend. That's relatable, I feel like.
I think to everybody.
Yeah.
Because people say, oh, my spouse is my best friend. But yeah. Where do you have an outlet?
Yeah.
Do you have someone else of the same sex or whatever your relationship is? You know, whether you're in a same-sex relationship or not,
yeah,
you have to have somebody, your best friend, a guy friend or a woman friend that you can feel relatable with everything.
And that gives you the honest truth. I feel like not sugarcoating stuff is easier to hear from a friend almost than a spouse sometimes. That you go, oh, you're kind of being a little crazy. And you're like, because if my husband said that to me, no, sir.
Well, and my biggest thing lately is the validation, validating your feelings.
Yeah.
Because with that being said, like the crazy, like, oh, you're just being crazy. And then you go to your friend and you're like, but am I being crazy?
No.
Ground me right now. Yeah. I need to be grounded. Pull me back down to planet Earth.
Yeah.
Tell me, where am I at?
Yes.
Am I being someone in outer space or not?
See, this is us, like, we literally can hang out for 10 hours talking about stuff, and it feels like zero time has passed by.
Yeah, so you're going to get a lot of information from us here.
Very quickly.
Very quickly, maybe more often, we'll see.
How's your morning going today? I know I already exposed myself this morning that I, first thing when I got in the car with Blake, we didn't even leave off our road taking him to school, and I'd spilled coffee all over myself. I had my passenger seat full of packages for the post office. I looked at how messed the cup slipped right out of my hand, right into my lap, and I was looking at Blake, and he instantly like, is she gonna freak out? And I'm like, okay, everything's okay, everything's fine, it's gonna be a great day. And my lap was soaked, but it was fine.
You can change your pants after.
It didn't get on my boutique packages, so that was a win for me, I'm gonna say. But I didn't have coffee my entire drive, so that was my loss.
I just have like a heat hangover from being outside yesterday, so I'm struggling a little bit. But I made a plan for myself this morning. You know, I had a list of like 3 places I had to go.
Yeah.
And I got them all done. And that is miraculous for a Monday morning. I don't know how I did it. I don't have makeup on.
Sometimes I have to trick myself. I'm like, it's not Monday.
I don't have makeup on.
Yeah.
But I did change my clothes. I don't have pajamas on still.
That's a win every day for me.
You know what? Most of the time, just that small thing makes me feel better.
On days where I have, so usually like 3 days a week, I have to do a postal run. On those days, I get ready in the morning. And sometimes I feel like, I'm like, why don't I not just get ready every morning? But then also, I kind of like the days where I don't have to do my hair, do my makeup. Yeah.
You know the days that you're doing something, you plan that out. Like, yeah. I plan out my hair. I have super long hair. It's all the way down my back. Like, yeah. Almost to my waistline.
Like, literally to your past your pants when you're wearing jeans.
Yeah.
Like,
so I have to plan out my hair.
Yeah.
So I look at my schedule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I look at my schedule, and I'm like, what do I have this week?
Yeah.
Should I braid my hair the night before? Mm-hmm. I do the heatless curl thing. Like, I don't like the foam one, but the rope, like the robe.
Yes. Yes. Robe the famous tie. TikTok silk looking one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I like to do that. Or it's actually pretty easy for me to straighten my hair when it's already been dry.
You have good hair. You have really good hair.
I try.
You do. You have really great hair.
So just stuff like that, though, yeah. Like making a plan for yourself for the week. You know you're gonna go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's the day I'm gonna do my makeup. That's the day I'm gonna get myself.
I feel like
together.
Even mentally preparing yourself for your kids' week is a huge thing. Now that school is back, I feel that unease on Sunday nights, almost like I'm going back to school. Like, it is so, you don't realize when you become a parent that them going to school is you going to school all over again, and that some kids struggle more. Blake struggles in school still with things, and so I get that unease of, I just hope he has a good week. I hope he has a positive attitude. I hope no matter what happens, like, it doesn't crush him emotionally, because we have had some tough years with teachers we've spoken about, and just making sure that they feel good can take a mental toll on you as well, let alone our husbands going back to work. Like, it's just like a whole thing, and I feel like it all falls on us. And now what do we do with this entire mental load that we have to carry all week and sometimes into the weekend? If your spouse isn't helping, or if you're a single mom or single dad, you're carrying it all the time.
So many mixed reviews about iPads and stuff like that,
right?
Which, Mike, you know, I'm pretty good about letting my kids kind of do whatever they want.
I'm pretty chill with it.
I am.
Yeah.
But then I make limits. Like, okay, you know what? Mm-hmm. We're all just going to go do something right now and put it down. And the only one that still struggles a little bit is the 7-year-old. But when they come home, they just want to, like, play their game for, like, a half an hour.
But I look at that as myself,
I don't care.
Too. Yes, I do it, too. I'm like, I'll hop on TikTok or Facebook, and I zone out for 30 minutes. And then I'm like, okay. Let's get dinner. Let's do the dishwasher. Let's whatever. So when he comes home and he's like, Mom, can I watch my Netflix show or some? I'm not big on YouTube, like, at all. If he watches any YouTube, it has to be in the living room or next to me, because there's been several videos that I've noticed. Anyways, that's a whole different subject. So sometimes he'll go, Mom, can I please just watch one YouTube video? And I'm like, yeah, let me. And I'll zone in with him. Yeah. I just really want to pay attention, because some of the, I don't like YouTube. Anyways. So yeah, but it is. I'm just like,
allowing them to have that, though.
That's a big deal to them. Allowing them to find their own way to wind down and do their thing. Sometimes Blake will get out of the car and he won't even come inside. He's like, can I go swing on my swing for a little bit? Like, I...
Please.
Just, yeah, please. And please. I'm like, yeah, I miss you. I'll be out there in a second. Let me take everything in, you know?
Yeah, I'll take your stuff. That's the thing, too. Like, I guess my biggest thing is I try to teach my kids, especially when they're... One of them's really down after school or whatever. Like, okay, we all need to be sensitive to this person.
Yes, help pick up the slack of their
emotions.
And I'm
going to say she, because she is normally the one that needs it. But
me?
No, the child.
Yes.
She's like really having a bad day. Yeah. Let's just, somebody grab her water bottle.
Yeah.
Because she's one of
those. Well, they notice those things too as they get older.
Yeah.
The sibling. Creating a bond in siblings, I feel like, is a big part of a mom's role. And if you don't do it correctly, it's a weird subject. Like, now, I love my family. I love all of it. But I feel like me and my siblings, we weren't raised in a way to take care of each other, really. It was almost like a chore to us.
Yeah, but families should depend on each other for things. So... That's something you have to learn also.
Yeah. So we never really learned that. I don't think any of us noticed or realized we didn't learn it until we got older.
Well, and I can rephrase that, because I know people can take the whole, like, dependency thing in the wrong way. And that's not what I mean.
Like, you to me, you're like the first person I think in my life. I've told you a million times that I'm like, I feel I can be 100% honest with you, and no matter what I'm going through, and I feel you're not secretly cheering that failure on. You know what I mean?
Never.
You ever have those people in your life that you're nervous to vent to because you're like, oh my God, they're going to hold on to this forever and tell everyone that I'm a struggling person.
Or like you have that one friend where you know they're just not going to be like excited for you.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, instant tear down and look at or all the negatives that could come with it. Well, did you think about this? Did you think about like, okay, I got it. Like you think I don't already go through my what ifs in my own head? But anyways, off topic. So sorry.
Okay.
Back to today's episode, we really want to talk about independence in your marriage and creating just that sense of self-worth, because I feel like me and you, we stayed at home for quite a while and then we both had worked, COVID hit, we both quit our jobs and kind of spiraled into where do I go from here? You've been married 13 years.
Almost.
Your husband's name is Steve.
Yep.
We love Steve. And you have three kids. How did you and Steve meet?
Really five, yes.
So Steve was married before Sarah.
Correct.
Yes, and he's how much older than you?
We are 11 and a half years apart.
Yes, so he had a whole life before you.
So I have stepkids whom...
You're a grandmother.
And I'm a grandma.
Yes, ma'am. And you are how old?
I am 36.
Okay.
So I'm 36 and my husband's 47 right now.
Yes.
His daughter's 26. His son is 23, and then we have, my daughter will be 12 in 2 weeks, 10, and a 7-year-old.
And then two grandbabies.
Two grandbabies, which are 5 and almost 2. So we have a lot going on.
Yes. Your house is always, your house is always so warm and inviting and full of children and laughter. I think that's my favorite thing when I come to your house, is my house is quiet.
Right.
You know, I only have the one. So unless it's him and the TV, there's not a lot going on. So when I come to your house, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I feel like I'm in my childhood home again. Because I grew up, you know, one of five.
But it's
my
family.
House was,
you're open because you're part of our family.
Yeah, I feel like I'm part of that wonderful environment of just like so much going on. All the kids are laughing. Like, we're having 43 and a half conversations. Like, and it's just, the day passes by so quickly there. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yes.
And I joke and I say like, oh, it's a circus, but you know, like so originally I was in college.
Yeah.
I met Steve, didn't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
Truly, because I was getting two business degrees.
Yes.
My plan was to live in Chicago.
Yes.
I already knew what area I wanted to live in.
Where did you want to live?
I wanted to be downtown for sure. So I had a few friends that I had worked in Chicago previously.
Yes.
And they were kind of like, I and it's been so long, I can't like say exactly like where it was.
Right.
But
right.
I knew like the downtown area that I wanted to be in.
You wanted like the fast pace.
Yes.
Zone.
I want to walk outside and do everything.
Probably have to walk to work in a certain...
Walk to
work. Yes.
I wanted to walk to work. Like, I still... A lot of people would get rid of their vehicles, but I wanted to keep mine so that I could come home all the time and visit my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to get married. I had been through...
You had zero intention of...
Well, I had had so many horrible failed relationships already at the age of 22 that I was just over it. I said, I'm going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be 40 years old. I'm going to do artificial insemination, have one kid, and I'll be by
myself. You were striving for, like, super independent.
Yeah, so I was in the super independent
I can still read that on you. You know what I mean? I can see you fight for that still very hard, independence.
Without saying too much,
yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yes.
So then I met Steve, and, you know, we both were in certain spots in our life where we almost needed each other.
Yeah.
Which was great.
That's
at the
a nice thing to have, finding somebody that it's almost like codependence immediately, but not in a negative way. Just like somebody to bounce off of a little bit.
I helped him through a lot of stuff with it that was left over from his divorce.
Yes.
And then he helped me get back on my feet because I did lose my job in Chicago due to the economy crash at the time.
Yeah.
And I was in my last semester of school. And I was planning on working there when I graduated, mm-hmm. and then they got rid of me. So here I'm back in the bar scene, working till 2, 3 in the morning, getting up, going to classes, you know, hustling for money, and he was helping me with stuff. I mean, financially, I was there for him, and he was there for me, too, in the midst of my mom getting a divorce and me having nowhere to live, too. So there was a lot going on there. So I think from the beginning, like, we were so dependent on each other, like... And not saying it was a bad thing, but just to the point where, like, now, 13 and a half years later, I want to have more of my own independence.
Well, yeah, I think that that's a normal occurrence that happens, though, as you get older. And also in a relationship that you are realizing you're comfortable in and you don't have to constantly battle.
Right.
Now I can find who I am because relationship is secure and okay. And now who am I outside of it?
So, but that's my biggest thing too, is like, how are you supposed to be the best person for your spouse if you're not your own best person?
Exactly. And that's
people forget that all the time.
Yes.
All the time. I'm like, but who are you?
Exactly.
And you answer, well, I'm a good wife. No, that's not what I asked you.
Well, I'm a good mom.
That's for somebody else.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're being a mom for someone else. You're not doing that for you. Yes, some people define themselves as being a mom.
Yeah.
But... who are you besides that?
Mm-hmm. All right. That is just the main topic that I want to do today. I want to talk about the independence. And now that we have a little understanding of who you are and where you came from and what your goals and dreams and thoughts are, that's the basis of our conversation today, is independence in your marriage. And so that's what we're going to touch on. You can shop at Sarah Bauer Boutique at www.sarahbauerboutique.com and really pay attention to our slogan of give them a reason to stare. I love that it's multi-purpose of you feeling so good in what we sell and what you are wearing that you go, oh, go ahead and look, like, I feel confident. And also go ahead and look, I don't care, you know? And that's my goal for this entire for my entire business, is that you feel confident in what you're wearing and how you purchased it, and that our items can be worn in so many different ways. You can take that tennis skirt and tube top and repair that skirt with a t-shirt and a jean jacket in the fall. And I think that that's a great feeling, knowing that the items that you're getting can be worn multiple different ways and occasions and dress them up or down. I think that's such an exciting thing about clothing, and knowing that you're truly getting your money's worth is such a great thing. That gorgeous tank top bodysuit with shorts that you wore can also be worn with jeans and a cardigan. And I just really love the brand and what it stands for, that I put my whole heart into it. And I hope you guys see that. So remember to shop Sarah Bauer Boutique and really feel confident every single day. So we're here with Sarah talking about just life and independence and being married, being a mom, being just a person in general. And I think what we had touched on earlier is finding who you are as an individual, whether you're in a relationship or not, or just working all the time, filling our days. And I think since when your kids go to school, before Blake started school, you know, I feel like that toddler stage, you're busy, you're exhausted, you're trying to keep up with the sink overflowing of dishes, and you go, oh my gosh, I can't wait until I have some me time, some free time. And then that time comes, and of course, both of us were early stage moms when COVID hit. So then it was like a little tease of them being in school, and then they were out for about a year and a half back and forth. And so we kind of touched a little bit of freedom, and then we were stuck again. So I feel like now that all of our children are in school, what do I do with myself? And before I even opened the boutique and things like that, I just sometimes I sat on my couch and I thought, what am I supposed to do? And I almost felt a sense of like I wasn't doing my part, but yet I was holding a household together, but I was like behind the scenes. I was a behind the scenes person. So when I had a free moment, I felt guilty because if my husband's working, like how dare my feet ever touch the surface of the couch? You know what I mean? I felt a guilt if I sat still too long.
Well, but I even had that guilt too when my husband would come home and my kids were home all day.
Yeah.
He comes home at 3:30.
Looked like we're partying almost. Yeah.
I'm just sitting on the couch. I'm just sitting here watching TV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got into that thing where at like 3 o'clock I would like start rage cleaning or whatever to make it like look like I did something that day.
But really you handled the entire household on your own for 8 to 10 hours. With zero acknowledgement because it all is undone by the time they get home. Let's be very honest.
Well, that's the problem. It's like the kids are, even with school too now, like when they get home at that time, it's like
everyone
needs a break. Yeah. And that's the whole like, you know, letting them get on their iPads for a little bit.
And you guys do sports too. So you're back out the door, what, like 4:30? 4?
Well, today will be 4 because... Yeah. Bristol, my youngest, is starting ballet.
Oh, she's back.
So she's back. So we let her choose two classes this time. So she's got tap on Monday, ballet on Thursday.
Okay.
So today is dad's turn to be dance dad because mom is...
He's very active in their sport life.
So he is.
Yes.
He coached both of my son's baseball teams this summer. Mm-hmm. I coached my daughter's softball team this summer, my oldest. And then, funny enough, I didn't tell you this yet. Yesterday, the travel ball coach approached Steve at football and asked him to help with that team.
Oh my gosh, did he say yes?
He said, let me think about that. Only because both of our older kids are on travel teams.
It's just nonstop. It's nonstop.
So the thing with that is if he's a coach, then he'll never get to the softball games.
Right.
So... Like, before, when our kids were both playing at the same time, like, one day I would go to the baseball and he would do softball, and then we'd flip-flop each time. And the kids would always remember, Mom, you came to my game last time, so now I know you're going to her game last time, or this time.
And even with as much sports and stuff, so, like, after school, it seems like your days are just, it really does set into place into that routine with your kids, but what's your routine during the day?
So,
like, do you have that yet?
I'm working really hard on that. That's something that I started last year. Like hit it hard because I was feeling very
throwing
lost.
In something for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like as moms we maintain, we're like, oh, I got the dishwasher loaded, I made my bed, blah blah blah. That feels good for us, but that's not self-care.
So I've gotten past that.
Yeah.
So now I do. I make my bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And I started like, so I have to get up at 6 in the morning to get my oldest ready for school. Mm-hmm. I take her to school and come home and then get my other two kids ready for school. So I started letting myself relax and drink my coffee when she's getting ready because she's independent. She's almost 12. So she gets ready for school, but I'm up with her. Mm-hmm. So I sit and I drink my coffee and I watch the news. But when I get back from dropping her off, the other two are getting ready and I'm already doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's when I do the dishes. That's when I change my clothes, or if I have an appointment that morning, that's when I get myself ready while they're getting ready. I'm brushing the little one's hair while I'm brushing my hair. So I figured out like how much time does it take me to get ready real quick while they're
routine
getting ready.
With children. Yes.
So I've blocked my mornings out that way because last year was a whole different routine for me because I had to get my daughter to a separate school.
Yeah, that was brand
earlier.
New. That was brand new.
So
I remember at the beginning of last year, you're like, I can't do this. This is crazy. Like it was such a huge adjustment.
Well, because
not only the time, but
I get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And by the time the little ones are dropped off, it is almost 9 a.m.
Yes. So
that's
your morning
3 hours.
Your morning is wild already. Yeah.
So like by 9 a.m. I need a break, I feel like.
Right.
But so I figured out like when I am really struggling and need a break, or I force myself now. I either go rollerblading.
Yeah.
Because you know our weather's wonky around here.
Yeah.
If it rains I can't go or whatever, the pavement's too slick. So I rollerblade and I've been trying to do the gym. Now I'm not gonna lie to anybody, I didn't do that over the summer.
Right. Well, it was a lot to juggle. I think what a lot of people, so I don't want anybody to misconstrue this conversation as Because there are moms and dads who both are working 40, 50 hours a week, gosh, and things like that. So you and I being stay-at-home moms, you know, our husbands work a lot, and we are the main caregivers to our kids. So I feel like that being a separate job as well, and being us not feeling guilty for going, I need a break. And there, I've gotten even emails myself. How do you need a break? You're not working. You don't do this. Like the negativity that comes in with being a stay-at-home mom, people don't realize that sometimes the mental load is even worse than when you do work and you feel like you participated or you're missing your kid's life. When I worked, I felt guilty because I'm like, I don't have to, but I wanted that independence and freedom. Then you feel a whole different kind of guilt. So I think you saying like, oh, I didn't, you know, do that during the summer and things like that. I don't want people to think, you know what I mean? Yeah. That, oh, well, it must have been nice. You had the summer off. I get that a lot. And does that bother you still?
Yeah, I don't like that because no. I didn't have anything off.
Exactly.
My kids were home.
Yeah.
They were, what are we doing today?
Yes.
Where are we going?
It was exhausting. The last day of school, before school started, you and I, we went out for coffee with the kids. And it was like a fun little coffee house. They have like a whole little outside area so our kids were playing, but they were bickering. And they were loud and chaotic and everywhere. And there were other people. And we were like, hey, there's other people here. I'm like, stop being crazy. And we both looked at each other. We're like, actually, I think we're ready for school to start. Yeah. Because it becomes so exhausting. And both of, you know, everybody in my family has regular 9-to-5 jobs. I'm the only one that kind of took the entrepreneur style or became a stay-at-home mom so young, or I have my own little health issues that I deal with that I'm pretty open about. But I also felt this sense of guilt. And so I felt like I had to have a routine. And when I didn't have one, I felt useless, which is not
true. But that's
true.
When you fall apart.
Yeah. And it's so, not true.
Even
what's expected versus the reality of life. Like what you expect from yourself. But like, let's be realistic because we're humans. Some days, today I told you I'm having like an endometriosis flare up and I had my portable heating pad on, loading my dishwasher. I'm like, okay, we're just going to deep breathe through this. Like, and I'm like keeled over. I'm sitting in the most uncomfortable position right now. If you guys can see me, I look like I'm going to pee myself because my leg.
She's dressed and looks super cute, so I don't even know what she's saying.
My post office runs are an illusion of how I feel. I'm like, man up, check your P.O. box. If any man looks at you, light your uterus on fire.
We joke with each other, and I have to share this with you because I think it's funny. People are always like, oh my god, you guys look so cute. And we're like, it's the pain that makes
I just have to hide the pain face.
Because on that note, like, I have suffered so many female issues my whole life. 15 years of like serious endometriosis pain. And
I'm always asking you because I just recently kind of started on that train there. It has tied into what happened to me a couple years ago, which I didn't know that that was a huge, you know, flare up, inflammation, the entire pelvic region. I have talked about this on episodes prior of what I'd gone through and the mental health struggles and battles. And me, when you and I became friends, I was still basically living on my couch, like struggling to get out.
But that's where we were relatable.
Yes. And you had just had your surgery.
I had one of my ovaries removed.
Yes. And so you were the one that pointed out to me, hey, instead of going to all these crazy doctors about your back, like, have you looked into your entire pelvic region? Because this sounds to me. And then I had my first rupture.
But that's what happened to me.
Yeah, I had my first rupture.
Nobody pointed it out.
Mm-hmm. And I was in the ER, and you were like, I was like, they said it was an ovary rupture? Like, what the hell is that? Like, I didn't even know they were capable of that. Like,
well, and what's crazy is I had that happen when my husband and I first started dating.
Oh, awful. Awful.
He was in the ER with me until like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And the look on his face, they were giving me morphine and it was barely touching.
Barely. My sister sent me a video last night or the night before. And I was actually in excruciating pain. I'm like, that's crazy because I didn't know if it was a rupture or just a flare up. Like, I feel like I'm not sure because when it ruptures, 15, 20 minutes go by and you're not in pain anymore. But the lasting after effects are hard. So I feel like cyst ruptures flares up. Anyways, and she sent me this video of, you know, putting castor oil in your belly button So this is supposed to be a huge thing. That was my empty Amazon package I got yesterday. My castor oil arrived not in there. And so I'm like, of course, on the day I really wanted to try and see. Anyways, but yes, it's a lot to handle when you're beating yourself up constantly about what's expected of you when you have your own, when you're just a human. This is reality. We have our own health issues.
We've also been like physically ill.
Yes.
And we can maybe say slightly mentally ill.
I belong in a padded white room most days. Like, this is why I started the whole podcast, because I'm like, this is not how you should be podcast. This is normal. Don't feel alone. You're not crazy. This is, so many people deal with, I feel like, almost self-sabotage sometimes. Yeah. Because of what we think everybody else is doing, but really, they're struggling just as much.
So where I picked up on that was, at the time my kids were super little, I think I was even pregnant with Bristol.
Yeah.
I was, because when I had Bristol, they did a whole meal train thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't even been pregnant with her yet. And I joined a mom's club.
Okay.
Because I felt lost.
Yeah.
I had three kids home.
Yeah.
My oldest was 4.
Yeah.
And my youngest wasn't even born yet.
Yes.
So.
And you feel so alone.
So here I am, like, nobody really explained motherhood to me.
Yeah. How could you? How could somebody?
But,
yeah.
You know, I do my best of, like, explaining it to people that are going to be, you know, parents. Like, hey, it's hard.
Yeah.
You're going to be mad at each other. You're going to be sleepless.
So you're better than me, because I don't want to terrify people. I'm like, it's great. I'm fine. Everything's on fire.
I'm honest, but in a way that I'm like.
But not in, like, you should be terrified. What did you do?
So, like, I joined that group and started realizing, like, until you speak to other people that are in the same boat as you, you're going to feel alone.
Yeah. And crazy, a little bit crazy. That was, so when I, before I started this podcast, I was struggling with the intrusive thoughts we talked about.
Yes.
Like, just a terrible negativity and almost like self-harm, self-infliction. Like, it was something I didn't understand. So it scared me. And I feel like when you're scared of something, it keeps coming back because your brain is like, how do we fix this? Like, you're terrified of things. Anyway, so when I was going through that, I was embarrassed to tell people, because I was like, there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm not okay. I belong, like, somebody should admit me. Like, when I told certain people, they're like, maybe you should check yourself in somewhere. So then I felt even more scared, not realizing that the majority, more than half of the population, deals with anxiety, OCD, trauma, intrusive thoughts on a daily basis. And I was only having anxiety attacks, you know, heart rate wise and impending doom. That was my knowledge of anxiety to that point, not realizing all the other things that can come with pushing those emotions down and suppressing things. And after Brett's dad passed and my grandfather passed away and we moved and like all these things happened, I quit drinking and all of a sudden it all hit me like a freaking train and was like, look at all this shit that you haven't dealt with for years. And now we're going to pile it on you and you're going to feel like trash. Like, it was awful.
And on that, because I know you told me you joined, like, I thought it was a Facebook group about like that pain you were having.
Yes.
So that's one of those things. Feeling like you're not alone. Not saying that social media is,
and trying to find people that's a little more helpful.
But like, social media can be very negative sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes I have to leave those groups.
So even sometimes in those groups, you'll get somebody that's nasty. Yeah. But usually, you feel like, oh my gosh, these people understand, or maybe you'll learn something from somebody. I'm not saying like run to Facebook and become a part of a but they are technically
not feeling alone.
They're support groups.
Yeah.
That's what support groups are for.
And if they don't make you feel good, that's not the right group for you.
Right.
If they make you feel more nervous, like I joined an anxiety group, not realizing that it was a hypochondriac group, and they were constantly posting things, and I was like, oh shit, but
that's not good.
And it was hard because like my husband was, you know, touching on the independence, which we'll get to, but he was very supportive of me, but he didn't know what to do. And I just kept telling him, like, just don't make me feel crazy. Like, when I tell you things, sometimes I just need to say it out loud and just don't make me feel crazy. And so he was really good at going, oh yeah, I've had thoughts like that before. Like, you just let it pass. And on these episodes I've talked about before is I always call it our neighbors. Like, anxiety is my neighbor. You don't want to address it too long, but you know it's there. It's there to, you know, tell you if your alarm's going off or that your dog's in the backyard, but it's not there to remain in fear. Like, you don't need to fear your neighbor, but you don't want to become best friends with them either, because they're gonna wreck your parties and they're gonna...
So that's something we can talk about on a different episode too, though, is like learning how to refocus your thoughts.
Yes,
that's a big,
it's a huge thing issue. Of retraining your brain process. And I don't, you've not listened to a lot of my episodes
yet. Listen,
she's not a podcast girl, so let's shame her immediately.
You can shame me very hard. I when I need like quiet time, that includes pure silence for me. And what's funny enough is that my husband listens to podcasts all the time, and it's hard for me to listen. I'm a better, like, I was just joking with her that we should be like the TikTok people and like video record ourselves, because I do better when I watch people.
Yeah.
So like, even my husband will watch, like, he loves Joe
Rogan. I love watching the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
I like seeing emotion and laughter and things like that, but when I'm cleaning or doing other things, I'll turn on my podcast and stick my phone in my back pocket. And
so I'm learning to listen.
You're learning. So back to that, though, retraining the thought process, something I say all the time on here is it's like a sledding hill. When you first get it going, all of a sudden you're in a groove, and that groove can become like a negative groove, and it's so easy to slip right down that slope. And we need to go to a different side, and sometimes it's hard, and you got to push your sled, and there's resistance.
You got to move
but
over.
But then you're creating a new thought process, and that's what it is. So I always joke on here, like, create a new sledding path. Like, that's my reference to that. Is it's hard, but it's easy to slip right into negative thoughts, but it's just as easy to create a positive. It just takes a minute.
Yeah.
So. The whole independence in marriage, I feel like, circling back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
I mean,
me and you go on tangents.
Yeah,
but yes, I feel like it all ties into it, because we've spoke about this, you know, prior to this episode, is when we first started hanging out, we took this one picture together, us sitting in your garage with another friend. And we talked about this the other day, looking back at that picture, what, like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't recognize those people. We have been on a massive self-growth journey. And to have your spouse, your person, help you grow with you, or congratulate you, or acknowledge that, like,
somewhat,
hey, you
supportive.
Yes, or like you didn't acknowledge that situation the way old you would have. Like, I look back on things that I, you know, addressed, or things that didn't sit right with me. I look back on how I dealt with those things, and I go, oh my God, that was traumatizing. I would never want to.
But I reflect on things like
reflecting
that all
constantly,
all the time.
Constantly. And some people don't think that people can change and grow and, or like, are different. And you truly want to be, but people saying that, like, you can't, that's crazy to me. That's what I say my biggest pet peeve on all of my episodes is this is who I am. You know who I am. This is who I am. I hate those people,
because
I feel like self-growth.
I don't agree.
Yeah, self-growth is always a journey. And you have been massively growing. Like, I don't even recognize who you are when we first started hanging out.
But let's be real. We know, like, deep down, like, that same person's always there, right?
Yes, yes.
So if you love that person, friend or spouse, for who they were, that person's always going to be in there.
Well, and like you said before, validating. Like, you validate me all the time. You're like, Sarah, like, it's okay. Like, you're a good person. And if this and this bothers this person, it's because that you could bring out a trigger or a trauma or an insecurity.
My biggest thing right now, and I'm on this kick, is like because I go through phases where I point stuff, the same thing out over and over.
Because once you notice it, you notice it.
Projecting insecurities is a huge issue with a lot of adults.
Yeah.
It could be your family,
and
your
we
friends.
Have dealt with this so much with women in our lives. Like, even, you deal with it so much more than I do, but you have a lot of people that you feel like once they get to know you, they're in love with you. But sometimes you're like, I feel like they look at me funny, or like, did they look at me sideways?
Well,
like, you get a little... nervous.
So yeah. I have a friend that I met when I first moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved from like, you know, a half hour away or whatever, 5 years ago. And I didn't know any moms here.
Yeah.
My kids were, my oldest was in first grade and my middle child was starting pre-K. And our kids, this mom, our kids ended up being in the same pre-K class. And we just kind of like hit it off because we looked at each other and we're like, this is nerve-wracking and we're laughing. Okay?
Right.
But she told me, and I'm not, don't ever think that I'm like sitting here being like, oh my God, I'm so this or that.
I mean,
like,
as you should. No.
She literally was like, you're so pretty. I thought you were a mean girl.
Yeah.
And I was offended.
Look at how we met. I did a TikTok that day. I'm like, oh my God, stop talking to me. Stop talking to me. Like, I was in my pajamas. I felt embarrassed. I felt angry that you acknowledged I existed. I was like, oh my God, I just wanted to compliment you one time. Go away.
You said hi first.
You were so cute. She was like sitting, she drove an Escalade, okay, a white one. And I was in love with those cars at the time. Like, I still see them. I'm like, oh, what a cute, lovely car.
Yeah.
And so I seen her when I was leaving the pickup line. I rolled down the window. I'm like, oh my God, I love your car. And she's like, thanks, yours too. And I drive a Jeep. It's an SRT8. And a lot of people don't know what those are. So you did.
I surprised you.
Yes. And you threw me. I'm like, yeah, okay, bye. You're like, I like yours too. I like yours too. And I'm like, no, you don't. Lying. Don't you lie to me.
She literally thought I was full of freaking shit.
Yes, yeah, so like, then awkwardly for the next, 4 months, we waved at each other in the parking lot. We're like, okay, hi.
You didn't even know what you committed to.
I had no idea. And then randomly, the first time I'd ever been in my son's school early to pick him up, the very first time, you happened to be going in there too.
And that was the only day I picked my kids up.
That was
early.
The only time. It was like ever. Fate. And then I was like, add me on Facebook. And I got home and you added me. And I was like, wait, yes.
The funniest part though is I was like, what's your name?
I was like, Sarah, what's yours?
Sarah.
Go away. Go away from
Get
me.
Out. Get
you
out.
You can't be here right now.
That's one of my favorite phrases. I'm like, get out.
Get out.
Get out.
You know what mine has been lately? Trash. It's trash. You're trash. Oh. They're trash.
But on that one, I say ew.
Ew. And you give me the ick. I don't know why I say it, because I know all the young kids say it, but it's stuck with me now.
Someone will tell me something I don't like, and I go, ew.
Ick.
Because gross, bro.
Yes.
One of my biggest things is, like, don't be ugly.
Yes.
And I am not referencing the way you look.
Yes, the ugly.
Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Because that was my other thing. It's like, people look at me, or they see what car I drive,
or they
the
see
way
your
I
ring
dress,
and your nails, and how you present yourself, and they instantly think they know you. They instantly think they know you.
It's not what you see.
No. And you know what? Like, how I look is a reflection on me. Like, I want to feel good about myself. I don't care what you think. Like, I always say that, like, even with my my slogan that I love, the give them the reason to stare. Like, they're going to look anyways. You might as well look great while they're staring at you.
Because also, what I've noticed a lot lately and what I've pointed out also is that I think that people really look at you and think, God, I want to have that much confidence.
But why be negative?
I want to walk that way.
Yeah, why be ugly about it? Because I will tell you down to my, you know, shoe, where I got everything, what I do, my skincare. When I was in your bathroom the other day, I raided your shit. I'm like, what is this? What is this? I ordered this. Like, and I have no
problem. What is this for?
Yes. And I feel like I love being that way with my friends. I love that so much.
But
so when girls are ugly about it, don't be ugly.
I always share my tips and tricks.
Yes.
And I take them in.
I want everybody to feel good about themselves, because that's just another kind person out there in the world. When you feel good, you're a good person. You're kind. You're loving. I feel like the number one pet peeve I have are people who have zero compassion. People that have been through shit, but they go, I got through it. You can too. No, ma'am.
I don't like that.
No, thank you. Like, we walk people through things, and we are all guiding. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi Coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi Coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi Coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A, 43934 today. Javi Coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today.
Wishing your spouse to be the best that they can be in life. Because, so my husband showed me a video the other day. And it was like, do you realize that when you're choosing to be with somebody, be married with somebody, I don't think a lot of people take into accountability that hundreds of thousands of times you're going to hear about their day, about their night of sleep. And we joke all the time because my first thing I say to Brett in the morning is, how did you sleep? And it's almost like robotic, but that's our communication. And how many meals you're going to eat with this person, how many different versions of themselves they're going to become in this life, who they're going to be as a parent, who they're going to be as an older partner, who they're going to be as a grandfather. Like, just these people you're growing with, you are making that commitment day one that you're choosing them, whoever them is, if they, of course, are growing in a positive way, not in an abusive manner, but you're choosing this person for forever is the goal. That's the intent of getting married. And I think that when Brett and I first got together, I always joke that I was the one working and that I had my own apartment. I had just left an unhealthy marriage and I was looking for all this independence, and he nipped that in the bud really quick and was like, you're with me now. And I was like, okay. Anyways, and we didn't have anything. And I think that that was the moment that we started to build.
So,
as having nothing.
Steve and I had nothing.
Yeah. And
we
so,
had nothing.
Yes. And you've been with him and you guys have created this life. And, you know, even Brett, he's finally found a career that this is his career. For so long, he always worked places for long periods of time and had higher positions or management or, you know, whatever. But it was never who he was.
The fulfillment.
Yeah. He was like, this is it. This is me. And now he's found something that he thoroughly loves doing, and it's good for him and his mental health, and he feels good and pays good, of course. And he's created a life for himself. He went to school to do this, and he felt good doing it. You know what I mean? Like, he had that confidence, and I always wanted him to have that. And I think I played a part in that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I ever was like, oh, don't do that. And same with me. Anything from when I started podcasts to photography to, you know, fitness to my boutique, he was always like, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I said, yeah. And he said, I want you to do it too. You know, like, he always made sure that it was something I was passionate about, but never, he always took it serious, you know?
Yeah.
He never took it down, but he wanted to make sure I was serious.
Yeah.
And I think that was a positive thing that I've seen in our marriage as a couple, is as we've gotten older and stepping into our careers and what you would say forever of careers, it's a support thing of trying to find yourself. Topic two is the creating boundaries in your family is a thing too. With your children, there's boundaries. With your spouse, there's boundaries. Yeah, but there are healthy boundaries. And people think of boundaries, I've said before, as negative things. No, it's not a negative thing. Boundaries are meant to show people how you expect to be treated. These are my expectations of respect, and I will get them. That is how it is. And guess what? Out of our kids, as they get older, there are adults and bosses and colleagues that are going to demand that respect. And it's our job to teach them. Just another fucking thing we got to do. But it really is. And that's the whole thing. Even with my son now, like with his chore chart thing, I'll say something. I'm like, hey, it's time to do this. And the other day he looked at me, he goes, what? And I was like, oh, all right. So you do that or I double them. Like, it is a huge, like, you are creating a sense of self-worth in your children, but also to create,
that's such a big one.
Yeah, and to create, these are how you treat people. And I'm a person. I might be your mom and I might be your, you know, dad's wife, and you see him treat me a certain way or whatever, but that's the standard too. How your spouse treats you is how your kids treat you. And that's a huge thing of the boundaries and what you're willing to tolerate. It has to be set. That's it.
Well, and with the self-worth thing, like, it's hard to explain that to kids when you're trying to teach them that. Like, why is that important?
Yeah, having a sense of self.
But that's also, I think can stem from having self-awareness first, mm-hmm. which is something that
we both talked about. We had zero confidence growing up. I don't think I gained an ounce of confidence until I was mid-20s. Like, I would hang out with the popular...
Yeah, way later.
I would hang out with the popular girls. I grew up with a girl down the road from me. She was so confident. She was gorgeous. Her parents owned a business in town, and they were very popular. They always had friends, and they were a gorgeous family, and she was the most confident friend I had, and I was just this little, like... My family didn't have money, and I didn't have nice things.
She had everything that she needed, so all she had to focus on was that.
Yeah, and she was so kind.
You struggled in other areas.
I did. She used to, like, let me wear her clothes, and she'd do my hair. Yeah. She treated me like her sister, and I am forever grateful to her family, because they taught me so much. My mom was a full-time working mom, and her parents worked a lot. Of course, they owned a business, but they were very, very delicate in their family time. Like, they always had it. They had that family time. So her parents taught me so much, and I was forever thankful.
But they had to have boundaries
too. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure they had to have such strong boundaries.
Like, hey, we're working.
Yes, and then, hey, this is family time, and they had that. They were able to have that. I'm not saying, like, my mom, blah, she didn't make that. She was a single mom, but, you know, there are still lessons to this day that I credit to her family. I'm like, she taught me how to do this. They taught me how to do this. Their relationship was gorgeous. Like, it was just that I learned so much from that family.
I learned from a friend who was a little bit older than me, and she had kids and a husband, mm-hmm. and I hung out with them all the time. Yeah. I was single at the time.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
You do. It's all the people in your life.
I didn't have a family where my mom and dad were in the house together.
Right. I didn't either.
I was 8 when my parents split up. I don't remember a lot before then. Some things, but not enough to be like super impactful.
I was 2. I literally have zero recollection of any couple stuff. And my mom dated quite a bit. My dad dated quite a bit. I don't think I ran across anything solid. Even when they got into their now relationships, I didn't know how long it lasts. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. So I'm not going to do it the way my mom did it. I'm not going to do it the way, you know, is expected to be a wife. Or we didn't see a lot of couple goals, I should say. I was seeing a lot of couples and our parents dated healthy. And, you know, I wasn't ever traumatized by any relationships, but I didn't know in-house living.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we're learning that as well. And I think that that's actually a perk, is that we get to create what we think it should be, and our kids will benefit from that.
But that's the thing too, though. We both came from divorced parents.
Yeah. So we're creating, we are the role. Our kids will say,
my
mom did this, or my dad did that. And I don't want, so raising sons, I don't ever want him to look at his wife as a chef, as a maid, as all these things, except a businesswoman. Like, I want him to go, oh, moms can do it all. I really want my kid to, if they want to, if that is something they want to do, I'm going to support. And I think his dad is doing a great job showing him how to support and how to be that role for somebody. I think that that's great, because so many husbands or spouses want to keep their wives hidden, or they think they should play a certain role, or, you know, are jealous of people they work with, or don't want them to work certain places. Or I remember when I worked at Hooters, everybody freaked out, and it was so funny, because the day I applied there, I was laying in bed with my husband, and I was looking for something to do while my son was in school, and I was like, hey, would it be crazy if I applied here? He's like, no. And I was like, you don't care? He's like, no. He's like, what do they need to know? He's like, looking at the application. And I filled it out laying in bed next to my husband. Zero cares in the whole world. And I feel like that's just what I want to give to my son. Like, your wife, respectfully, of course, she can't be, you know, having zero trust issues, cheated on you 1,000 times and expect your support. But in a healthy way,
yes.
I think it's so incredibly important to raise a son or a daughter to demand that I'm supported.
But it's just the supportive spouse thing.
Yes. So, like, I think that is not an expectation. That is a must.
But you have to do that. You have to be supportive in the manner you're saying, in being supportive in the independence.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what was so funny is when I worked there, people asked him, how do you like her working there? I'm like, I'm the one that's working there. Why are you not asking me? Like, it's great, actually. It's actually a family-owned restaurant. Like, I get more kids in there than I get any, you know, like...
But that's been a topic in my situation. Like, I want you to be happy for me when my friends want to do stuff with me.
Yes.
And I don't think he didn't look at it.
We have friends that can't go to the beach with us, Sarah.
I know.
That's crazy. Their spouse won't let them go to the beach.
We're not allowed to have a woman's powwow at the beach.
No, that's crazy. See, and it's boundaries like that that I push for women to be like, push back. You can push back because 90% of these men, which I hope are not physically violent, we've talked about this before, to I do not support these relationships of staying, but to the point of them saying, don't do that, I don't like it, you have to push back at some point and go, this is what I want to do, and I really hope you support me in that because it's going to make me happy and I'm doing it respectfully and I'm not going to the beach and, you know, powwowing with, you know, Magic Mike. Like, we are just sitting in the water yelling at our kids every 30 seconds.
By the way, we invited these men.
Yeah, by the way, speedos are welcome. And half the time, we look like crazy ladies because our kids are going out too far.
But the reason we do it is for a healthy reason.
Yes.
To get that outlet, like, hey, we're just sitting here chit-chatting and the kids are playing.
The sense of purpose of different routines and our kids to be healthy. It's so many different things, whether it's beach or bike ride or whatever.
Letting our kids run around in the woods.
We're being good moms doing so.
Yeah, it's always a growing thing, and I
think it's a constant growing thing as our kids get older. I feel like we're approaching
different faces.
Yeah, we're approaching so many different things that we go, where's our level of comfort in this new phase? Where's my relationship comfort in this new phase?
So, like, I'm in a middle ground because I have the older one that I'm trying to, like, really teach her, you have to do your chores without me reminding you.
Yes.
And I have the middle child who's starting
to... my chart right there before he walks into his room. Check it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So then like, I get...
Exactly.
Then I got my son who's the same age as yours,
mm-hmm.
and I'm teaching him, like, okay, now you have to start paying attention to these things. And then I have my little one who's 7 who's like, Mom, can I help you? But then I have to like help her finish
right.
doing it. Hard because they're your kids, they're your babies. You're always gonna care. But you have to teach and guide
and
them.
And raising them together in a marriage while you're still figuring out marriage. Like, I think it's crazy looking back when I was growing up too, you know. Even, like I said, my one friend's parents that were wonderful and amazing, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't look at them as partners growing up. Like, they were just so-and-so's parents. Like, that was it. Yeah. Like, you didn't study their marriage. And now I look back and I go, wow, I bet they had to work at that. I bet they had to create that. And I bet they worked at that for so long behind the scenes that nobody's seen. And I thought it was amazing because I want my child to look at his dad and I's marriage and go, that must have taken some work, but they were always such good partners and supported each other and allowed each other to be different versions their entire marriage and get to know that version of their new partner all over again. Even my kid has gotten to know different versions of me, things that I allowed before that I'm not allowing now. It's a moving pace and it's fast. And I think that people that can keep up with it are the people that are meant to be in your life. Because not the people that go, people can't change, or I knew who you were back then, I know how you talk, I know how you think. No, you don't. And I would love for you to get to know who I am. I would love for you to see that I want to be my best version of myself. And I don't know who that is yet, but I'm proud of myself every day.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
I'm really proud of myself, and I'm proud of the friend I am even. Like, I'm proud that my friends can always know that you can come to me and there's zero...
It's a safe space.
It's a safe space. There's zero anything of judgment.
Zero.
And the compassion is there. Like, if you're crying, I'm crying. If you're upset, I'm upset. If you're going through a hard time, like, I'm going to check on you 5,000 times.
I'm pretty sure, like, twice now we've made each other cry, like, actually. And I was like...
Ew!
Was I upset? What just happened? I thought I was fine.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like leaking from my eyes.
Yeah. Well, it's just like even...
Because it's being compassionate. Yeah.
And complimenting each other. Even your husband. God, you guys compliment each other too much.
Oh,
I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's going to get worse.
we just started, okay?
Yes.
So you have no idea.
But it feels nice because in the beginning, you know, when we compliment each other, we joke and we'd be like, oh God, oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
So weird.
Merry Christmas. But now I'm like, thank you. Like, I didn't think of that about myself. And now your words stick with me and I stand even taller. Like, the constant build is.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. And I feel like everybody needs, you need more than one person.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Like, I have quite a few best friends,
mm-hmm.
but they all played a completely different role.
It's
in
different
my life.
Chapters. Yeah.
I have a friend that's more like my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that's more like my seasoned, you know, like she's like my, the mom that I go to because
yes.
her kids are older.
Yes.
You know, I have you where we overshare and talk about the most ridiculous things.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have a new friend who I met through baseball season, and she's been great. I was
yeah.
talking to her on the phone when I got to your house because I was supporting her in something that she's going through.
Yeah.
Her and I have a lot of the same, like, thought processes, and we both have three kids, you know?
Yes.
So, like, silly things like that
I feel
make
like different
you feel
friends
connected.
For different stages, you know, different
yeah.
areas of your life, and that's so needed.
Yeah, I mean, we're just at that point now where I think we're old enough. We're old enough now where we, like, know who we want in
yeah.
our life and what their
and
role
expectations.
Is.
I have expectations. An expectation for my friends. And if you don't make me feel good or if I leave your presence feeling maybe on edge or, like, drained, like, me and you can vent to me all day and I go, you didn't drain me. Like, it was in such a constructive way that we can bounce information off of each other and advice that I don't ever feel like you took energy from me. But there are people who, when they are constant venting, constant problems, drama every day, you go, I am tired and I might need a break.
But those people are looking for you to help them fix things.
Yeah.
So they are, like, drawing your energy
yes.
away. When we come to each other, we talk about things in a manner of, like,
how can I better this situation? And also, like, I don't need
not
you to fix,
fix
it.
Me.
Yes, I don't need you to fix it. I need you to either, you know,
talk
yes.
through it with me.
Yes,
kind of,
talking it out. Talking it
like,
out.
Like, let me get this out of my brain.
That's what I always talk about.
Yeah.
Why I write so much. I'm like, I write things down
we're
all the time.
We're both here with our notebooks.
I know.
We have scribbles everywhere because I'm like, this is
I'm
what
a
I'm
scribbler.
Thinking.
I know. But it is. Like, I'll write down thoughts just to get it out so I can look at it and go, okay, like, this isn't something that needs to be living rent-free in my head all the time.
No.
This is just a random thought and a process that I'm going to go through, and I just need to get it out.
Yeah.
And that's it. Even when I called you today, I'm like, I don't know why I'm calling her, but I'm just going to call her and, like, we'll go from there.
Let's be real. We talked for a half hour before I came over.
I know. Like, save it for the podcast.
But we got a couple ideas.
Yes.
So it was fine. I was like, I'll bring it up. I'll bring
yeah,
it up.
But it is.
So
I feel like, yes, there's just different people for different things in your life. I think having boundaries and expectations is such a huge part of your growth.
Independence.
Oh my God. Yes.
I just want to feel who you are and being
yeah.
confident with who you are.
Yes. And not tearing somebody down for their confidence.
I have it that's something
and that goes for spouses and friends. You don't
yeah.
get to make little comments or it's not my somebody I dated before, like I would go to get dressed or put on makeup. What are you putting on makeup for to leave the house? What do you mean, sir? Why am I putting on makeup to leave the house? Like, don't question who I am. And what I look like.
Or you get the, who are you dressing for?
Oh, God, that's the worst one.
Myself?
Yeah. I want Sarah to think I look hot today, and that's where I'm headed.
Like, literally, if I could fish yeah. a compliment from you, it would be great.
Winning at life, sir.
But I think we just do that anyways.
Yeah.
Like, just because we truly care about each other, that
yeah.
I don't ever want...
Like, the
want...
genuine.
Yeah, yeah. But... I guess that's one of those, like, love language things
yeah.
where, like, the words of affirmation type of thing. Like, if you don't hear that you look good when you...
try really hard
yeah.
in front of the person that you wanted the response from,
yeah,
then you're going to
you
stop
get...
looking to them for the response.
Yeah.
And then you create it yourself, or it goes the other way, and you kind of resent the fact that they didn't notice how hard you've been working.
Well, and not only that, but I feel like even though you're not, you're doing it for yourself... they should notice.
Yeah. 100%.
You know?
100%.
Even if it is your friend. Like, yeah. If you're like, I'm going to get really cute and yeah. go out with my friends. And if you walk up to your group of friends yeah. and they don't go, oh my God, you look so freaking cute.
Yeah.
If they don't say that, you're going to feel like complete shit.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, and it's just like, so the other
day. But the validation.
Validation that you noticed something that I worked on.
Like the moms on the football team.
Even saying you're happier than I've ever seen you before. That's a compliment to me.
Yes.
You know?
The moms on the football team. Oh my gosh, did you get your hair done?
Yes.
We have become like a whole yes. separate family.
Yes.
They asked, we were talking about hair stuff and yeah. they knew I was getting my hair done and they noticed right away.
Well, and they can, like, just the knowing that it needs to be forever. These people should constantly build you up. It should never stop. Like, that's when they say, you know, remain the person you were when you got into the relationship of how you made that person feel. You need to continue. What? It was yesterday or the day before I posted a picture of Brett and I. I wanted to do a picture with him. I think it was Saturday.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel cute. Like, want to take a picture with me? And he's like, sure. But while we were cooking that night and I was like looking through the pictures we took, he's like, here, listen to the song. And I was like, for what? He's like, oh, you know, for you. And I was like, what? And it was that song, Sun on Me. And I captioned my picture, one of the lines from it. Because I was like, I've never heard this song. I was like, wait, that song makes you think of me? He's like, yeah, whatever. Don't look too far into it. Because he's like, not. But he does it in his way. But I know it. You know what I mean? I know his way of loving me. And it's not loud. And it's not out there. And it's not on social media. But it's mine.
Yeah. You
know?
You just like, just, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. And I always.
And I'm paying attention.
Yes. Like, he, it's the easiest.
But also, you do you.
Yes. It's so easy. I've never questioned his love for me. Or yeah. his support for me. And I yeah. think that's what the whole purpose of me saying is I'm able to truly and authentically be myself, and I know he's behind me on it.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Well, we touched so many things.
I know, and you're coming back because we have so much more to touch on. I feel like
suggestions or anything.
And questions. I do question episodes. I'm going to make you sit with me for questions.
Like a
and
follow
answers.
Up?
Yeah. I'm going to, so with this episode, let's generate some good questions of relationships and comfort and anxiety. And God, there's so much we've touched on. So any of it, the questions and interaction will be open on this episode. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was actually super fun. I thought I would feel weird, but
no,
I don't.
No, not at all. And Sarah will be back because I'm going to force her. And I'm going to make her do her homework on our episodes.
Yes, I will. I am fully, fully involved at this point.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I want to make a correction about that song. It's Sun to Me, not Sun on Me by Zach Bryan. I wanted to get that credit correct. So I really hope you guys took away wonderful things from this episode and just where you are in your growth journey with yourself, with your relationship, as your kids are growing. It's so much and it comes in so many different phases with your life, and just know that as you're growing, things do change and that's okay, and finding new routines is okay. And it can be overwhelming, but also know that when you are overwhelmed, that means that life is changing and you're moving forward somewhere. So that's such a wonderful thing. And I know, of course, we were referencing hymns and husbands and things like that. And that's, you know, of course, because Sarah and I, that's our life with our husbands. Of course, this goes with all spouses and remaining healthy in all relationships and friendships and family. Everybody in your life, you should have an expectation of to treat you a certain way and have your own independence within yourself, not relying on others for validation, knowing that you are doing your best and living for yourself and creating a self-love and a self-worth on your own, and nobody can create that for you. Having a supportive spouse is so incredibly important, and I feel so lucky and Sarah feels so lucky to have that. And everybody has their own
issues in their relationships that they work through. And that's part of marriage, is working through things in a healthy manner, respectfully, and keeping that respect and knowing that you are never there to hold your partner back from living their life too. It's their life as well. So continue loving yourself completely and live for your own journey. Live for your family's journey. Be a part of all of it, authentically being yourself. All right, you guys, continue loving yourself completely. Write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.